People of the Internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take some of those ideas and get the gears turning within our own heads, or maybe we build up some conversation points, some little starters for conversations that we can go and talk with our neighbors and friends and families, if it's not too controversial. But we're still dealing with coronavirus, the COVID-19, that super crazy deadly disease that's going to wipe out all of humanity, supposedly, according to big mainstream media outlets. And with this fear that's going around, there's been a lot of talk of vaccines, figuring out a way to immunize the population, make it so that we're all nice and healthy. Now, I don't know too much about how vaccines work. I've got a general understanding, and that being we take a small, less powerful version of the virus that we're looking to inoculate against. It still has the main genetic coding. It still has the capabilities if we were to give it a little extra oomph. And we purposely infect the body, the human body. We inject it, and the immune system responds. It says, oh no, this is trying to take over. But because it's got the disease has one hand tied behind its back, our immune system can go in there and 1-2 punch it out, get it squared away. Sometimes the disease that we're working with is a little bit stronger than we intended, or maybe our immune system isn't completely up to par, so it takes its toll on us. Something like a tetanus shot. Whenever that tetanus shot is given, makes the arm sore or the leg sore for a little while. That's just the reaction of the body fighting off the infection, the purposeful injection of the infection. And again, it's there to make it so that the disease doesn't create a stronghold, doesn't build up and then wipe us out one at a time individually. And this became a big talking point of contention. Was that only last year or so with the measles outbreaks going all over the place? The point of vaccines is to create herd immunity. It's been a big talking point locally on the local radio stations. I'm not sure if it is where you're at. And herd immunity, in a nutshell, is when the greater population is inoculated or has sustained this illness and the body knows how to affect it or defend against it. So that, again, the disease doesn't have a place to take hold. Now, with this coronavirus 19, the COVID-19, no one has any biological protections from it. So we're being told. And so anybody that catches it is going to die. Now, again, there's reports now coming out that a lot of people have contracted it. It seems to be similar enough to other diseases that the body is able to figure out a way around it, to battle against it, to protect. And that's good. Kind of goes with that earlier podcast I did about the super virus and the incredible numbers of how many people are going to die. That's not to say we still shouldn't worry about stuff like this. I mean, we advertise and go out and get the flu vaccine every year. I found a link that talks about the effectiveness of the flu vaccine, and it goes anywhere from 37% to 60% effective. So about half the population benefits from the flu vaccine, and that's just a matter of guessing, right? You don't just hit the print button and all of a sudden your vaccine is made. You have to combine all the chemicals and balance it all out and run tests and make sure it's going to be the exact genetic markers that you're looking to protect against. We also have things like individual body makeups. We're all humans, but we're all just a little bit different. We're all kind of unique. Big things are the same. Little things kind of affect us, easily reflected within diet and personal exercise of what we're able to do. And I kind of base that off of the LD50 model, the lethal dose of 50% of the population. There's a point where things affect a greater number of people than others. And maybe that goes as far as blood type or whatnot. And maybe that's too far of a stretch to compare that to, but it's a general idea. Broad paintbrush kind of deal. But with this herd immunity and something like the measles, the whole point is, again, that your body knows how to fight measles. And even if you get coughed in the face by someone with measles, as long as you've been inoculated, you stand a very good chance of not contracting it, according to a doctor that I've found quoted in an article. This show will be laced full with the show note articles, so feel free to dig into those if you wish. But the doctor says, even if you have the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, 3 out of 100 people, so 3% of the population, runs the chance, if you've been inoculated, if you've been vaccinated, to catch measles again. But if you catch the measles, you run a significantly less severe infection of the measles. And so vaccines, I know, have done some good. I mean, we got rid of polio and smallpox. Measles was on a decline until it got its resurgence from people worrying about the forced inoculation, being told that you have to have this. But then people were like, no, it's my choice. My body, my choice. And as a parent, it's my job to guard against my child. And I find that to be a very honorable, respectable thing. I'm not a parent, but you want the best for what's going to be the best for your kid. That's your job as a parent. Look out for the next generation. Hope for the best and provide them with the best to protect them the best of your ability. And some of that scare with vaccines comes with how many vaccines are just given within the first 2 years of life. Here in the United States, before you're 24 months old, you will have 28 vaccine injections. Now, if we look at a young human, the body doesn't know what's out there. It's not protected. So again, the whole point is to give it these small amounts so it's able to protect, so it's able to fight against. But at the same time, that does seem like a lot of extra work for the body to do. There's quite the number of population that have had this number of injections and are doing just fine, thriving just well. But at what point, again, with that LD50 type of model, that point where, again, not everybody's the same, everybody's kind of unique, everybody's immune system, while very similar, has its own little intricacies. What happens when the mixture's just not right for your body? I mean, we all, again, have specific diets that work best for each individual. What if the vaccine is too strong or not strong enough? There is a fund that is created. 75 cents of every vaccine dollar sold goes to a public congressional fund. And if you can prove that you've been injured due to vaccines, you are paid out from that. It almost becomes like a non-disclosure agreement that you won't say anything, but you'll get paid and you'll get covered for damages. And maybe that's about it. Is that specifically how it goes? I don't know. I'm fortunate enough not to have worried about that. But what if we start digging just a little bit deeper? Get a little bit further out there. I don't know. Maybe get your tinfoil hat on. This might go a little bit far. But with this new coronavirus, COVID-19, there's a lot of speculation. And I didn't want to dig too far into it at the beginning, but since it's been a couple weeks, let's chase the rabbit down the rabbit hole and just kind of glance, see where it takes us. But there's been a lot of speculation that this virus came from a biolab. There's a YouTube documentary, hour long, that I'll link, that does a good job of connecting dots and showing that China again covered it up and that it did come from this lab. But I'll let you watch it, make your own decision. But if this came from a lab, was created either to be a biological weapon, a super weapon, or maybe just innocuous enough to help cure another disease. I think one theory that I've heard in the past couple of days is that it's the process to being created to cure AIDS. I know there's other methods out there that are being looked into to man-make viruses, supposedly, to go in and either fight cancer cells or even something. I remember hearing something about fighting herpes using the AIDS virus or something like that. I don't know. I didn't look that up for this. But it means to get creative to cure things. Fight fire with fire, so to speak. But if this virus, again, man-made, got out, what becomes the justification for forcing vaccinations on everyone? Now, maybe this one isn't as bad as it could be. Maybe it could be a bunch worse. And if we don't get that herd immunity, if we don't force vaccines, if this thing were to spread and become very, very bad for everybody, then I think there is a point to force the vaccines in order to save the greater population. But what if it's something as simple as the flu? Flu vaccines are recommended for the very young and the very old with compromised immune systems. I don't recall the last time I got a flu vaccine, a flu shot. Go out there and rough it through. Does that fall under the herd immunity thing? Or is that just my immune system being strong enough? But what if we were to go so far as to 3D print vaccines? That's kind of that's probably a really broad term. But we have that genetic editing sequence process called CRISPR, where we go through and selectively add and delete with buffer genetics specific things. If we use that on this or any biologically created super virus, would that fix any and all problems? Is that a justification to further the research into a CRISPR vaccine, a way to forcibly fix it? But again, one of the problems that has come up with CRISPR, the editing of genes, is it's not something that's just normally flushed out of the body. It's something that's built in and added to the network of building blocks within the human body. And then does that get passed down when we recreate, when we produce more humans, we make babies? At what level does that affect their genetics? At what level does it affect the genetics 5 generations from now? Now, it may be, again, a solution for the present day, and maybe that solution has to happen. But again, at what point do we force that? I kind of have an issue with the schools mandating vaccines, immunology for all the children, but at the same time, that's, kids aren't clean individuals. We should all know that. They like playing in mud, and they always got the sniffles. Hats off to the teachers of the elementary school kids. You all probably have the strongest immune systems out there dealing with whatever. I know I've heard stories of coworkers talking about how their kids bring home colds and then all of a sudden you got a cold. So it makes sense. Confined spaces with closed doors and windows and need some sort of safeguard. But at what point does the government get to force us to inject something, mandate us to put something in our body? We do a lot of voluntary things, but again, you can't send your kid to school now without an MMR vaccine. Now that's your choice, protecting your kid, or whatever other series of things. And maybe they run the chance of getting sick later in life, or maybe they're stronger for it, or maybe they become an asymptomatic vector for the disease, and they just pass it on and become a little typhoid Marys running around. I don't know. It's a whole bunch of bouncing around. It's a whole bunch of just kind of questioning the narrative of the things. And it's really only, again, to get those gears turning within our heads. Maybe we take a minute, stop and think about it just a little bit more. Or maybe you just sit there and go, Billy Bones, you are bat-ass crazy. Gone too far. Well, if that's so, you hit me up on Twitter, at Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You go there, you send me 140 characters and let me know. Maybe you gotta tell me more. You go ahead and go to the website, billybones.com, spelt the same way. Go to the contact page, you find a link to the Discord channel. Go in there, set up a diatribe against me, or maybe you want to send me an email. There's an email link on the website as well. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found any value out of it, I'd ask that you share the show. And if you found any monetary value out of this, you're more than welcome to donate. You go to the website, billybones.com. Once again, scroll all the way down. You click the value for value button. It'll take you to PayPal. But otherwise, I love you guys. Stay healthy. And I'll talk to you next week.